When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to First Take. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Victoria Arlen, filling in for Molly, alongside Jordan Cornett, filling in for Stephen A. And we also have the great Kendrick Perkins hanging with us. Shay and a few other friends will also be joining the party in a little bit. But shall we get our Friday off to a great start, fellas?
No better way to do it than with you two.
Let's get right to it, shall we? The MVP favorite, Nikola Jokic, casually making history while also helping the Denver Nuggets clinch a clutch fourth-place consecutive playoff spot with a 122-109 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. The Joker was no joke as he became the first player in NBA history with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists in a season. He also casually had 35 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals last night. No big deal. Jokic remains the odds-on favorite to win his second straight MVP award ahead of Joel Embiid, and he is the, quote, only Nuggets player to win MVP and already has the Nuggets record for double-doubles in a season with 66, breaking his own record of 60 set last year. I'm rolling with Jokic, especially after last night, and I'll keep campaigning, but who do you guys think should win MVP? Kirk, I'm going to start with you.
First of all, let me say, it is a beautiful day when we come on here and we get a chance to talk about two centers that are the front runners of the, as far as the MVPs. Let me get that out the way. And Jokic has been absolutely great. I can take nothing away from him. But I'm still rolling with Joel Embiid. The fact of the matter is this. With the way that Ben Simmons did him in Philadelphia, not showing up to work, basically quitting on him. Joel Embiid didn't hang his head. Joel Embiid didn't pout. Joel Embiid silenced all the noise and said, you know what? I'm done with the Ben Simmons topic. It's time for me to go to war with the guys I have in the locker room. And he did just that. And he did it in great fashion to the point that he attracted another superstar in James Harden, who forced his way out of Brooklyn from playing with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You got to be doing something special if you force James Harden to come play with you. And then on top of that, the last center to lead the league in scoring and win the MVP was Shaquille O'Neal. And he did it in 1999 when he averaged 29 points a night. Right now, guess who's leading the league in scoring? It might be Joel Embiid, giving people a 30-piece wing dinner, all flats, lemon pepper style. And so when I see Joel Embiid and I see what he done before the arrival of James Harden and now continue to do that with James Harden struggling, I got to go with Joel Embiid. The fact that he was the runner-up and then he bounced back this season even in better fashion, I'm going with Joel Embiid as my MVP pick.
Look, V, Perk laid it out beautifully. It's a great time to be a big, no question. You got Giannis in this mix, too, because in reality, it's a three-horse race. Mm-hmm. And if you're calling Giannis a big, which he is, it's all three of these guys. It's a tough year to be trying to campaign to be an MVP. Any other year, Giannis may get it. Any other year, your boy Embiid may get it. I had Embiid up until about a week and a half ago. Jokic gave me no choice. It has to be big fella. It has to be the Joker because of what he's done to put this team into the position that they are. When you look at the Sixers and their record, when you look at Milwaukee and their record, Denver's record ain't far off of it. And look, Perk, you talk about the fact that you got Embiid, who was able to attract a star there to play alongside him. Where's the star in Denver? Who's the star alongside him? Jamal Murray's out. Michael Porter Jr. is out. This is the focal point of the offense is a big man. It's a center in Joker. And what has he done with no shooters around him, with no legitimate star around him? He's delivered and done it in a historic fashion. We talked about the totals he's amassed, which we haven't seen before. How about the historic PER that he's going to end up posting? That surpasses Giannis's from 2 years ago. This guy was the MVP a year ago. They're better numbers this season. Look. Denver ain't sexy. Denver ain't on TV. They're not playing the marquee games. They don't have a star alongside them. It's not very marketable. But what it comes down to is what Joker's doing right now is simply something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, but Jordan, I will counter this and say this. Joel Embiid was doing this before James Harden arrived. Like, he was putting up big numbers. And I would say over the last week or so, I saw what Jokic was doing, and you're right, he was putting up big numbers, and I said it. I tweeted it out. I said that they're watching each other because this past weekend, I saw Jokic play an early game on Sunday, and I saw him put up some big numbers. And then all of a sudden, guess who played right after him? Joel Embiid, and he followed up with, I think it was 45 and 13. And then the following night, he came back with another 40 piece and like 14. And when I see this, I'm like, you know, what they're watching each other, and Joel Embiid is answering the call. Look, I'm not taking anything away from Jokic. Here's the thing. If Jokic was to win it, I wouldn't even be mad. Yeah. In my opinion, it's 1A and 1B. I always use this analogy, right? I always use this analogy when I come on here. Some people like to drink. Whether you like to drink Hennessy or Ciroc is your preference. Do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, they both go get you drunk.
How do you even combat that? I mean, in reality, that's the truth. I mean, what you're sipping on is something nice with either one of these. I mean, it's sweet as a Swisher either way you look. I mean, both of these guys, throw Giannis in there. All three of them are doing it. And to me, with all three of these guys achieving how they are, it really can't be any vitriol thrown no matter which way you go, because the point matters and it needs to be proven that with these guys, these teams are just very good. And they're not anywhere they would be. But I look at the load put on a Joker, and that's the separator to me, V, is the fact that what he's able to do with less around him and the historic way he's achieving it, that's where I go.
Well, and look what he did last night, too, when he got elbowed in the forehead, went back twice to the bench to get it taken care of, then put a headband on, went out, put out unreal numbers. But I want to ask you both, is why is Giannis below these two? What about Giannis?
That's a great question. Go ahead, Perk. I'm curious what you're going to say here.
I feel like we're getting bored with Giannis, right? And we almost, include myself, we're taking him for granted. So when we see his numbers, 29, 11, and almost 6 assists a game, we keep saying, oh, that's just Giannis. No, that's not normal. And so he has shown us for the last, 4 years straight that he has arrived, and I think we're so used to him putting up these numbers that all of a sudden we have literally got bored with Giannis, and it's unfair to him because any other guy like a Joel Embiid that would be putting up the numbers that Giannis is putting up, we would have him as an MVP frontrunner. So here's the thing. I just feel like we don't need to take him for granted. We did the same thing with LeBron James when he was in Cleveland. We was like, oh, that's just LeBron. I felt like when LeBron was in the Eastern Conference when he was with Cleveland and Miami, he could have won 2 or 3 more MVPs, but we got bored with him, and it became normal. That's why I think Giannis is not at the top of this conversation.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact that he's maybe not chasing history. There's no, like we talk about a Heisman Trophy, what's the Heisman moment? I don't think we've had a chance to see anything like that from Giannis. Because quite simply, he hasn't had to do it. He's got a great group around him. He's a team that I believe is going to come out of the East. He hasn't had to shoulder as much. Where there's stories to be told about the trials and tribulations that Embiid's gone through, that a Joker's gone through. We haven't had to see any of that attrition face from Giannis. And maybe that's what takes a blow off of him in this race. But again, any other year, it's probably Giannis's trophy.
Well, Perk, what about why have we seen an influx with the big man? Why is the big man back?
I don't know, but I'm loving it. I think it's just the evolution of the game, right? And you could just go to – because they're not your normal bigs. Like, these are different type of centers and power forwards. We're watching Giannis. We're watching Jokic. We're watching Embiid. Especially when you look at Jokic and Embiid, these guys are bringing the ball up the floor. These guys are actually initiating your offensive times. These guys are showing you outside of the paint area their versatility and their skill set. So they're actually changing the game right before our very eyes, and we're not even really recognizing it. Especially when you talk about Jokic and Embiid. Like, watching these two big fellas, two guys that are 7 foot, 280 plus pounds, doing the things that they're doing at this level, skill-wise, is ridiculous. And so we're watching just a different brand of basketball, and I think we're watching the evolution of the game and the big man, and they're finally saying, you know what, this is not a guard or wing type league. The bigs have came back, and I thank God for that every single day.
Preach, I think Perk. We all do. Preach, Perk. Well, we have to go from, you know, the comebacks to the setbacks, the Los Angeles Lakers, because after Tuesday's loss to the Suns, the curtain was officially closed for the Lake Show. A team that had one of the best postseason odds at the start of the season couldn't even reach the play-in tourney with a trio consisting of LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis. It's shocking that we're even here. There's going to be a lot to discuss this offseason, and one topic already circulating around is the future of Anthony Davis as a Laker. But Davis emphasized after the team's loss to the Suns on Tuesday that he doesn't concern himself with hypothetical trade scenarios, saying, I mean, I don't think they're planning on doing anything with me. I don't know. So, we've got Shay here with us in studio. And with that being said, and the incredible bad ending to what was considered the team with one of the best odds not to just make the playoffs, but to potentially win it all, mm-hmm. Shay.
Yes?
Can the Lakers' big three still work?
I think they can, but there needs to be more attention as to how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Over the last few days, we've been talking a lot about the comments made by LeBron James and what he's going to do during this offseason. And what he needs to do is focus on how him and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook can make this thing go. Also, AD obviously needs to stay healthy. This is a lot of ifs. I feel like that's been kind of the theme of the morning here, if ifs actually come to fruition. But Anthony Davis and LeBron James have already proved that they can win a championship. Yep. This is not new information. But how can they now add Russell Westbrook into the fold? Russell Westbrook was not bad at the end of the season. He actually played pretty good. But because of what we had seen previously, we constantly put the onus on him because it was an easy way to just say the Lakers this year have not been good. And by my estimation, it was a lot of things, if you will. But if Anthony Davis and LeBron can find a way to not have Russell Westbrook do what he does, and that's be kind of a ball hog from time to time, but continue to have confidence, which is what I feel like Russell Westbrook lost a lot of this season. A lot of Russell Westbrook's game is predicated on confidence and on having an ego. It was lost a little bit when there was trial and tribulations going on in LA. Can he still have that? But understand, this isn't his team. It's LeBron and AD's. And then again, AD needs to stay healthy. If all those things can get figured out, I think LA obviously can win another chip. However, that's a lot of ifs to actually see if it can happen.
It can actually happen. What about you, Perk? What do you think?
Hell no. And look, they're going to have to find a way to, look, coexist. But far as them making it work, when we talk about making it work between Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis, we're talking about basically championship or bust. And do I see the Lakers winning the championship with those big three after what I just witnessed this past season? No. Like, we can continue to say, oh, we need Russell Westbrook to change. But the fact of the matter is, I believe Russell Westbrook is going on 34 years of age. Yeah. Russell Westbrook is pretty set on who he is as a basketball player. I don't see Russell Westbrook changing. And that's not a bad thing. It's just not a great thing for the Los Angeles Lakers. By the way, LeBron is going to be 38 next year, which we can't say even age no more because he keep proving us wrong, and I get all that. But we just have to realize how better teams are getting, right? Just look overall around the NBA. Teams are getting better. Players are getting better. And by the way, no one is afraid of the Lakers anymore. So when I look at it, yes, they're stuck. They have made this bed and they have to lay in it. I think they bring the big three back. Do I see them winning the championship with this big three? No, I don't. Not at all.
What if they add a little defense, though? What if they add some defense?
They don't have the space in terms of how the salaries are constructed and how that roster is to really go get any of those things, Shay, that you're asking for. So to me, look, Perk is right, but he's also even more right about the fact that it's going to be these three guys. It's going to be AD, it's going to be Bron, it's going to be Russ. So how are you going to use those three guys? Well, I scoured through the tape on this, and I was trying to find ways to make this thing work. And my best thought is, for one, apply a motion offense. Yeah. Let LeBron have other guys where he doesn't have to shoulder that much of the load alongside these guys. Redefine roles. AD needs to stop trying to be a guy that wants to do all the things that he's capable of doing, clearly, but he's a five. And he needs to be a five like Bam's a five for the Miami Heat. He needs to be a rim-running guy. He needs to be a guy that is a screener, dive guy, and then occasionally hunt that other stuff. But he needs to be told, hey, this is going to be the role. Maybe it can help you stay healthier, but it can definitely make you more effective. I took notes here that make, you know, Russ, turn him into a P.J. Tucker. I'm just biting everything that the Miami Heat have. have Russ be a guy, which you're not giving him the ball, to be the player that he was this past season. Redefine his role. Have him pursue every loose ball. Make him be a dirty work guy. Work the short corners. Those kind of things. Make him a short roll guy. Take him off handoffs. That can make Russ be more effective. And then as for LeBron, you're going to laugh at this, make him like a Kyle Lowry for the Miami Heat, just a quarterback who facilitates that can go off and obviously do LeBron's type stuff. Kyle Lowry on steroids. You reinvent this thing like that, I think, Perk, you've got at least a building structure of this thing. And oh, by the way, pressure's on this front office to do what Miami's done. Go get G League guys. Go get undrafted guys. Do your homework. Get guys that aren't going to be those, oh, big names with low value. No. You're going to have to work for it. You guys put yourself in this position. Figure out ways to make it happen. You can get creative. I've heard Wendy talk about it. I've heard you talk about it, Perk. There's ways to fix this thing. It requires work and checking egos.
Yeah, see, and that's exactly my point, Perk. Like, I feel like the Lakers are so accustomed to just plug and play, figure it out, the Lake Show, Hollywood, LeBron's here, everything's going to be great, and it's not that way. Like, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board here, and some guys are going to have to make adjustments. And you know what? The great ones will, and Russell Westbrook is going to have to be one of those dudes that figures out it ain't his team anymore.
Well, Shay, I want to piggyback on that one. Oh, sorry, Perk, you want to go?
No. Go ahead.
Well, I want to piggyback on what you mentioned about the ego and how Russell Westbrook no doubt plays good when he has his ego and when he has kind of that going for him. Do you think he gets lost in the mix between LeBron and
No, AD? I just thought we saw a lot of obviously negative chants towards Russ. He talked about this a lot. He talked a lot about it in his postgame presser. That's not who he's been. Yeah. Russ walks around with swag. We always look at his style heading into games. He plays with that swag and he plays loose. And it was lost a little bit this year in L.A.
Shay, he's the biggest piece that needs to be fixed because he can be fixed. Yeah, I believe in Russ. This is a guy that's still capable, Perk. Yeah. And I go back to utilizing him in that way. Say, hey, Russ, we got to check the ego, man. You can't have another season like you had last year. You can't be a usage guy like that. DHOs, dribble handoffs. Work to be a physical defensive presence. Be a loose ball guy. Be a guy that can knock down open mid-range when we ask it of you. Be a short corner guy. We have to simplify to amplify the ability of Russell Westbrook.
No, I get that, but look, this is what we have to realize. We're not talking about a group of youngsters, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about three Hall of Famers. We're talking about guys that have won MVPs, right? And we're talking about actually going in them and holding them accountable and check their ego is a hard task to do for any coach that you bring in, right? So when I look at it, right, I'm looking at Russell Westbrook, him going back to L.A. I think mentally, he wasn't ready for that. From him being born and raised in L.A., you know, going back home, all the pressure, right? Think about it. All the pressure that comes with playing with the Lakers. It's championship or bust when you throw on that uniform. And I don't know if Russell Westbrook wasn't ready for that. This year, he got picked on a lot, rightfully so. He didn't play well. And then all of a sudden, you start hearing those things about, you know, where he was turning basketball into life. And I'm sitting up here saying to myself, no, we're not attacking you, Russell Westbrook, as a person. You're a wonderful human being. We're going at you about what your performance is on the basketball floor. So I'm just trying to figure out, can you change Russ at this point of his career?
So you know what? As you lay it out for me, Perk, I got my wife over here telling me to chill.
Like, let him finish.
You ain't quarterbacking over here. I can jump in.
Perk, to me,
and this is why this part that we haven't touched upon is massive. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the coach? Who can you get to get those guys to buy in like that? You know who I love? And it's about as far-fetched as it gets? Pop. What if you could get Pop to come in? Here's the reason why I say Pop. And I'm just throwing this out there.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Because he has that respect of those guys. They would buy in. Pop's probably done. I get that, obviously. He's moving on. But if you understand that this is a win-now mode for these Lakers, they're old. It's only a two-year window in reality. You're only asking somebody to pay off that ultimate prize for a two-year window. So that's how you need to be thinking. It's not a long-term fix.
But, Jay, think about what you just said, right? You just said in order for this to work, the coach that you would need to go get is one of the greatest, not the greatest coaches of all time, that is like 73 years old, right, that is considered a senior citizen to come in and actually fix this. That's how far it is from making it work. Like, if you got to go try to pull a Greg Popovich from a San Antonio Spurs, a place where he has been his entire career, to come in and fix this situation in L.A., then you definitely know it's not going to work.
That's my issue. That's my biggest issue, Perk, is you should be able to get a Russell Westbrook to say, yeah, how I've been trying to play simply ain't going to work. People talk about disappointment.
Good luck.
We knew this is how Russ was going to try to play. We knew that this is how he's going to play. And if he did, we knew it was going to be clunky. So now you got to pull it back and say, hey, Russ, we can still get a lot of juice out of you. But this is how we need to approach it. AD, you're still one of the top 10 talents in the league. But how it's going now, I think we need to adjust the role. It's still a starring role. And it's still a role for Russ to still be a star in that role. It's how you become a champion again. And I think this group, if they can buy into, hey, we have to tinker with this thing a little bit and let LeBron be LeBron and max out how that is, and that's with the motion offense, and that's with him quarterbacking this thing, they've got a shot. It's just a way to say, it's going to be these three. How can we amplify these three? Because the reality is, we're riding with them moving forward.
Well, I think we have a lot to keep elaborating on this, too. I think there's also a lot to be discussed this summer, including probably a lot of damage control being done for the Lake Show. And we've got a lot more to discuss in this show. But, Perk, stick around. We're going to have you come right back. But we got to get to Tiger's long-awaited return, which was met with thousands of fans eager to watch him tee off at the 86th Masters, a feat that nearly 14 months ago seemed literally impossible after a terrible car crash left doctors trying to save his right leg. He kicked off his miraculous comeback shooting one under after the first round, and he spoke with Michael Eaves afterwards.
I felt good, you know, and the whole idea was to keep pushing, but keep recovering. And, you know, that's the hard part is, you know, each and every night to recover. And I've been doing that. My team's been incredible, getting me ready. And I figured once adrenaline kicks in and we get fired up and I get into my little world, I should be able to handle business.
So you got an afternoon tea time tomorrow. What will the next 16, 18 hours look like for you?
Lots of ice.
A lot of ice. I respect that. I mean, it's to be expected, I'd say. But we've got Michael Collins back with us live from Augusta. And Michael, in pure Tiger form, he is here to win. Let's talk about his first round and finishing one under. Would you say he has exceeded expectations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, no one knew what he was going to be able to do on the back nine. If you remember, when he got here from Sunday on, he only played 9 holes per practice day. So that was 9 holes on Sunday, 9 holes on Monday, and then 9 holes again on Wednesday before we were going to see him play all 18. So the fact that he played as well as he did on the back nine and had that much energy left, I think that's saying something about where his game is. Now, the big test is going to come today when Tiger tees off later this afternoon. And it's funny, right when you were showing that highlight of Tiger talking to Michael Eaves, guess who walked right by the stand and said a little hi as he went by? Tiger's caddy, Joe LaCava, out there right now, walking the golf course because he can't be inside the ropes. So he is looking at where the pin positions are, where the holes are located, and seeing how the balls are reacting around the holes. If you remember yesterday, Tiger brought Joe in on a lot of those reads. So as a caddy, you want to get out here early and see exactly what the putts are doing around the holes. Joe's out doing his homework early.
Mm-hmm. Michael, when Tiger tees off this afternoon, what are conditions going to be looking like? He's already braved the elements for day one. Mm-hmm. What are we going to see, or what is he going to see in day two?
Yeah, ironic that you use the term elements, because there weren't really a lot of elements that Tiger had to deal with on day one. This afternoon, the wind is really supposed to kick up. Now, first thing this morning, the temperature was way down. It was in the low 50s, but there was barely a breath of wind. The temperature now has gotten up. It's right around 60 degrees. And there isn't a lot of wind, but it's starting to pick up. Late this afternoon, we're supposed to have wind between 15 to 20 miles an hour, with some gusts getting up to 30 miles an hour. So dealing with that kind of wind at a place like this, with all of these trees where the wind swirls, that's going to be an issue for Tiger Woods.
Michael, I know we heard Tiger talk after his round yesterday about how he needed to go get some ice. Obviously, you were there. You watched him walk around, walked the course, how he swung. What did you make of his leg and how he looked out there?
Yeah, it's funny. When Tiger said he needs, he's expected to have a lot of ice in his future, I thought he was talking about having drinks. You know, he felt so good afterwards, he was just going to have a celebratory little drink after the fact. But, you know, he was talking about his leg. And look, if it's Tiger Woods, I wouldn't be surprised even a little bit if he had, like, his own cryo unit with him. Yeah, maybe so he could do some time in the cryo unit, because that would be good for the leg. But that being said, I mean, the good thing about him teeing off in the morning yesterday and then playing this afternoon today, it gives him the longest opportunity at recovery for that leg to have it in as good a shape as he can have it in going into this second round.
Well, let's also talk about, you know, Tiger's journey to even get here back on his feet and being able to play and what it's taken for him and his team to get him to this point.
Tiger normally doesn't let us behind the curtain when he does interviews during tournament. It's not till afterwards when we find out, like, what it really took for Tiger. But there was something that he did yesterday when he was talking to Eves, when he did his chuckle and just kind of went, y'all have no idea what I've gone through. I mean, and that, I think, gives us some insight into even how Tiger is a little bit amazed that he's able to do this and is here this week and competing this week. No one, and I mean no one, after that accident happened, and probably 5 to 6 months after it had happened, thought we were going to see Tiger Woods at Augusta National. And even when he played in the PNC in November with Charlie, he was the one who said, I'm not even in a position right now to walk 18 holes. And that was in November. Now, and that course, the PNC, is dead flat. It's like walking on a basketball court, which doesn't have any undulations on it, or at least shouldn't if it's a good basketball court. The fact that he's here, and this is one of the hardest walks on the PGA Tour, and he's going to try to put himself in a position to do this 4 times in a row, is almost medically miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even to talk about mentally what it took. When I talked to Tiger at the PMC, he would say, I have no days off. There are no days off. And I talked to Erica as well, and she said, I've never seen anybody with the will to get up and work every day, no matter what, no matter how he feels. And that's what it took for him to get here. And he didn't do it alone. People had to help him. People had to be there and do things in order for him just to get to a point where he could do the work to get here. So the fact that he's praising his team the way that he's praising, the fact that he shot 1 under, like I said, the cake is fantastic. Tiger's alive, and he's going to get to spend time with his kids. All of this is icing, and him playing well is a huge cherry on that cake.
Michael, I love that perspective. I couldn't agree with you more, but we all want to see Tiger get deep into this weekend. Now we've got a little bit of a taste of it. I'm sitting there watching.
Now we're greedy.
Now we are greedy. I'm sitting there watching with Shay yesterday, and I marveled about the physical specimen Tiger still appears to be as he's moving the course. There's a slight limp, but he looked pretty good as he was walking down the fairways. Yeah. He didn't hit as many as he would have wanted to. What would be the tell that maybe shows, hey, Tiger is maybe fatigue setting in. This day two is really starting to hurt him. He may have given all he had in day one.
Well, I'll be honest, man. So Tiger, I think, was bigger before the accident. And I think after the accident, I mean, when you see him set over a shot, especially when he's putting, when his shirt stretches out and you see what I call the wings back there, the wings are still big. He's still yoked. Don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. But he slimmed down a little bit, and I think that helps. Now, as far as the walk goes, Tiger's going to have that walk probably for the rest of his life.
Sure.
That's just the way it's going to be. But when you talk about, did you see anything in his swing? Yep, on the 18th tee. Now, most of the time, the best analogy I can use, because I'm sure a lot of people don't play golf, and I don't want to get too deep into the woods of the golf swing, but it's like when you see a baseball player swing at a baseball. They're trying to get to their left side. They're trying to get all that momentum going left. Well, in order to do that, you got to push off of your right side. Tiger on the 18th, you could tell, just didn't have the strength in that leg to really fire off of that right side. So he used his hands, which is why he snap hooked it into the trees. So that's the dead giveaway. Once you see Tiger swinging and he's not pushing off of that left side because he can't, because his leg is just tired, then it becomes all core strength, all arms and hands. Tiger is crazy athletic and crazy strong and still yoked, so he can still get through it sometimes, but more mistakes are going to happen. And so when you see him start making big mistakes off the tee because he can't drive with his legs, that'll be the indication that the leg just isn't as strong as he was like it would like it to be. And I say watch for that to start happening on the back nine today.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to seeing Tiger teed off later today, but I got to open this up to the rest of the field because I got to tell you, Michael, looking at this leaderboard, Cam Smith, your call is right there at the top. And so we're heading into round two. Do you think Cam Smith continues? Yeah, go ahead. You
dust
go brush
it.
Yep, feel free. Cam Smith's going to continue down this road. Is there someone else you like to emerge? I mean, you got the crystal ball, buddy.
See, here's the thing that scares me, though. So we did the Twitter show. The live Twitter show yesterday, and I found out that everybody on the Twitter show had also picked Cam Smith. So pretty much like every announcer in a football game going, you know, this kicker has never missed from 35 yards his whole career. Oh, no. So I'm terrified that Cam Smith is going to shoot like an 81 today, but not really. And here's why. If the conditions get really bad, guess who won a tournament in horrible conditions about a month ago? Down in Ponte Vedra Beach, Jacksonville, just outside of Jacksonville, the Players' Championship, Cam Smith. So I love the position that Cam Smith is in, although I'm not going to lie. Sung J.M., who is a guy who seems like he plays 137 tournaments a year, like he plays every single week, which is crazy. His father was caddying for him at the par three contest. And at the ninth, everybody who's caddying, the caddies get to hit the shot. It's all fun. The kids hit it in the water. You do it a good time. So Sungjae's dad was kind of backed off, like he wasn't going to hit. Hey, man, you got to hit the shot. And Sungjae comes over and goes, hey, man, my dad's real shy. He's not going to hit the shot. So, of course, we all, you know, being good people, we're, come on, you got to hit the shot, man. Jump in. So we kind of goaded him into hitting the shot. And wouldn't you know, his dad not only flushed it, but hit it closer than anyone else the whole day. And you could see the surprise. Sungjae was so proud, he almost cried. Like, we went crazy on the ninth tee. So I think there's a little bit of extra inspiration there for Sungjae. And he's playing really well. And his dad is here this week. So after hitting that shot on Wednesday, he kind of scares me. And I think DJ, too, Dustin Johnson, he's got to walk to him. It looks like there should be some cool jazz music playing everywhere DJ goes.
I agree.
And this
what
dude having one here. Yeah, see, and DJ having one here in October, when we had it in the fall, I think, too, he's like, hey, that ain't right. I only got to take my green jacket outside the property for like 4 months. That's bull, you know? Because then Hideki won in April, so he didn't get to have the green jacket as long as he needed to have it. So he's like, nah, dude, that's not cool, man. I need that jacket for a year.
These are not problems that many people have.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all, not at all.
But you want that jacket for the length of a year like everybody else gets it, I feel.
Just to have it for a minute feels like a win in my book.
But. So, I mean, just to touch it, I think, is a win in my book. And what a note to end things on. Michael, enjoy your day. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, back to First Take. We got some quick takes. Check out this between the legs off the backboard. Alley-oop from LaMelo Ball to Montrezl Harrell. How impressive is this?
Well, here's my thing. There's breakaway plays. You can go alley-oop. There's a showmanship to the game.
Yep.
I mean, it's entertainment when you go watch the league. In the open floor, give me a little bit of that. I love it. That's the kind of vibe that LaMelo brings. That's why he's one of the future faces of this league.
Yeah.
Does he end up in L.A.? No.
Why are you blowing that out there?
No. Oh. But I'm just saying, this Russ to Charlotte thing, wild. And probably untrue, but it's fun to fantasize.
I love to watch these, especially when the execution is spot on, because had he missed, we'd be singing a different story today.
Yes.
Why do you keep harping on that? No, he wouldn't.
I'm just pointing it out, but I love this too. Give me all the dunks, all the shoulder shrugs, all the things in the NBA.
Just give me it all. Well, from the NBA to the NFL, it wasn't that long ago when Tom Brady retired from the NFL. It also wasn't that long ago when he unretired from the NFL. Brady is back for his 23rd season, and the 44-year-old will be rejoining the Tampa Bay Bucks to go after his 8th Super Bowl ring and his 2nd with the Bucks franchise. But his former coach, Bruce Arians, believes that offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich deserves more praise for their success.
I get credit, and Brady gets way too much credit for what Byron does with our offense. And one of the reasons I hope he gets all the credit he deserves this year to get a head coaching gig. You know, he had about 4 or 5 teams real interested last year. I would anticipate him to be a head coach real fast.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So for more, we've got Rob Ninkovich here with us. So Rob, I'm going to start with you. With all of this on the table, what do you make of Arians saying Brady gets too much credit for his team's success?
Well, I think you'd like to see Leftwich be a head coach, and he will be. Yeah. He'll be a head coach. Maybe next year he'll have that opportunity to be a head coach. But look, we live in a world where NFL quarterbacks get all the credit. I mean, you think about, go down the list. Peyton Manning, did he get a lot of credit for all the success that he had with the teams that he played for? Yeah. Did Aaron Rodgers, does Aaron Rodgers get a lot of credit for all the success that they have in Green Bay? Of course. So Tom Brady being the guy on the field throwing the passes, of course, he's going to get a lot of the credit. You can draw up a play. You could draw up a perfect play. But if you don't have the guy that can throw the ball accurately and make the right decisions, we've seen that with Tampa in the past. They went out and they got Tom Brady because they needed that guy. They needed somebody that can make the decision. So Tom gets the credit because he's the quarterback. Just like Patrick Mahomes, just like Aaron Rodgers, just like Josh Allen, they all get a lot of credit. They all get all the accolades and they all get all the money. And that's because they're the most important position on the field.
Yeah, there could be a few things that are true here. One, he's supporting Byron Leftwich and wants Byron Leftwich to get a head coaching job, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've seen Bruce Arians a lot of times root for, quote unquote, the underdog. And I love that about Bruce Arians. Also can be true what Ninko just said. Yes, you live and die by your quarterback. When they're good, we praise them. When they're terrible, we blame them for every single problem on the team. But the third thing that can be true is that Bruce Arians gets on Tom Brady way too often. Way too often. And I have seen it from middle of the season, beginning of the season, now off season. He's constantly kind of throwing a little bit of shade at Tom Brady. And I'm not here for it. Because if Bruce Arians wants, now I know he's no longer the head coach there in Tampa Bay, he should have started Blaine Gabbert if he's got all these issues with Tom Brady. And so I just don't like the constant shade for TB12.
I didn't see any shade, to be honest. I think everybody's being a little bit dramatic on this one because what I heard Coach Arians say, I and Tom Brady get too much credit. I think he just delivered the words in a way that made it sound like he was saying, I get some credit and Tom gets entirely too much. I thought this was a guy saying, I'm the head coach that won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's a quarterback that won a Super Bowl. And nobody's talking about Byron Leftwich, and they need to be. This is a guy that's getting up there campaigning for a guy who is not getting any opportunities in a league we know is known for not giving black faces the opportunity to go out there, interview, and ultimately get jobs. They're clearly deserving of. So for me, I see nothing here to hate on Bruce Arians with, only celebrate. Nink makes a great point here. Even if there was shade being thrown, which I didn't see any of it, it's a quarterback-driven league, and that's how we're always going to assess success. It is, what a quarterback? Who's that quarterback? Oh, yeah, that's why they won. They got Tom Brady. They got Peyton Manning. They got Drew Brees. And when they lose, they've got Blaine Gabbert when he was starting before he was in Tampa Bay. That's how the conversations go. But to me, I saw no issue with this. I think this is Bruce Arians being the guy on his way out that he was on his way in, and I love it.
Yeah, again, multiple things can be true here. But we do know that Bruce Arians has thrown some shade at Tom Brady.
This wasn't one of those
instances. Maybe not. Maybe I'm sensitive to it, and that wasn't my doing. Just saying.
What time is it? She's acknowledged she's sensitive at 10:42. Thank you. That's a big part of this here.
It's true. Nick, what do you think?
I think Leftwich and Tom definitely have had a huge impact on that offense. But, you know, also the player selection that they've made and bringing in and building a roster, that's really made a difference and set them apart from where they were in years past. You know, they bring in a lot of key pieces. They built that roster out to be one piece away. So, you know, credit goes to the, you know, the scouts and everyone making all the decisions on who they're signing and who they're keeping. So, Byron Leftwich will be a head coach. Mark my words. He's going to be a head coach, and he's benefited from having Tom Brady as the quarterback come in. If Byron Leftwich was trying to put in this game plan with a Bortles or somebody else or a rookie, you know, I think it would have been a lot harder for him. I mean, look, we saw him with Jameis when he had 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. So, you know, having Tom Brady has definitely helped Byron probably in his career get a head coaching job. So I think that next year we will see Byron Leftwich be a head coach of a football team.
Well, and Rob, you played with Brady. Do you think he really pays attention to these types of comments?
No.
No, I mean, I think Tom probably agrees. Like, yeah, I get a lot of the credit here, and Leftwich has been a huge part of the success that I had transitioning from New England coming here. And look, their team now and their coaching staff is really built by a lot of ex-players. So, you know, I could say as a player myself, when I would have a coach who had some experience in the NFL, it was a little bit different coming from somebody like, hey, I remember, I know cover two, I know cover three, I've seen it with my own eyes. I know this play does not work. Well, Tom, what play works? I understand that. So having a coach that played, I think, is a little bit more powerful. And, you know, there's great coaches that have never played a down of football, never made a tackle. But, you know, coming from a guy that's been there, done that, I think that those two and the combination of that relationship with Tom and Leftwich, I think that was a great thing for success. And look, they won a Super Bowl because of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Bruce Arians is trying to give love to Byron Leftwich. We just dissect every single thing that happens in regards to Tom Brady, in regards to this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. And, of course, Bruce Arians, because he's part of the mix. But I will say this, Nink, just to your point, in terms of how much credit Tom Brady deserves there with the Buccaneers, over 75% of their offensive plays are through the air. Yes, he deserves some of the credit. He's the one throwing the ball. And so I know Bruce Arians, again, is just trying to lift up Byron Leftwich, but there are elements to this.
And even if there was an element of jealousy here and Bruce Arians was throwing some shade, which I don't believe to be the case here, I think that kind of comes with the territory when you're surrounded by legendary greatness.
Of course.
Yeah. Look no further than your hometown of Chicago. Scottie Pippen is making himself look awful in how he's trying to defend what his career meant, because it's always attached to Michael Jordan, and he feels like he's been defamed of what he really achieved. Yeah. I think sometimes when you're attached to that level of greatness, it's easy to get lost in the sauce, which you're truly capable of doing. Yeah. And sometimes there needs to be a reminder. So maybe, just maybe, Coach Arians was trying to say, hey, this isn't all Tom, you know. I'm a pretty good coach. And Byron Leftwich does a heck of a job calling plays, too. There could be a small element of that. I wouldn't be mad at it.
And see, so we've all come full circle here. There was a little bit of shade.
No,
thank you.
Maybe
a little bit. We're going to leave it. We're going to leave it right there. Rob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.